You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome already to hour number two on this Friday as we head into New Year's weekend. I told you we're doing a section, and I'm calling it hindsight foresight. What do people that live in this stuff on a regular basis, what do they look back on as the biggest stories of 2023? What do they look forward to as a biggest prediction for 2024? Well, one of those who comes on the show fairly frequently is Todd Stacey. Todd Stacey is the founder and publisher of Alabama Daily News. You can find them at aldailynews.com. He's also the host of Capital Journal on Alabama Public Television, which airs every Friday night. He's been around politics quite a bit, worked on the Hill, came back to Alabama. Now he's doing the news. Todd Stacey, how are you doing?
I'm great. I'm great, Phil. How are you?
I'm good, man. Hope you had a good Christmas and looking forward to a good new year.
Absolutely. A restful holiday, a little football to look forward to, and also some Auburn basketball tomorrow night.
Oh, that's right. That's right. There is more than one sport right now. It's Hey, listen, we just had our first conversation with Congressman Palmer. He had his predictions and his look backs. But, you know, as somebody who sees the news on a regular basis and has a lot of connections in D.C. and in Montgomery, looking back at 2023, what were the biggest stories in your opinion? And then what's biggest coming up in 2024?
Well, from my vantage point from the state, you know, I cover the state legislature pretty, primarily. And I have to say that the biggest story is probably redistricting and what the legislature did up front, but then the courts reversed and drew their own map. It was obviously a big story at the time, but it's big going forward because we have these two new congressional districts in the southern part of the state, one of which is pretty likely to become a Democrat, to elect a Democrat. So, I mean, that's pretty big going from one Democrat in the delegation to possibly two. The jury's still out on that. I mean, the voters will have to decide, sure. But just by the numbers, it's definitely a purple district at least. So, yeah, I think that's, to me, as far as the legislature and the state goes, that's probably the biggest story.
One of those two, am I not mistaken, you used to work for Congresswoman Roby, and so one of those districts that got redrawn, CD2, that's the one you used to work in, correct?
Right. Yeah, I've done a lot of work in the second congressional district, and it changed a little bit in 2011, which you were around for, but it was still a pretty solidly Republican district.
Yeah.
It last elected a Democrat, Bobby Bright, back in 2008, and that was, it was Barack Obama's year. You had a lot of people still split ballots back in that day and age, but it was a solidly Republican district when Martha Roby represented it, but it's completely changed, right? I mean, so it's all of Montgomery. They took away Autauga and Elmore, which are very conservative areas. They took away the Wiregrass, which is another really conservative area, and stretched it all the way down into Mobile. So it's got a black voting age population of 48.3, and so that's what the court thought was appropriate. That percentage, just by the law of averages, should mean a Democrat gets elected. But lots of things can happen. With Joe Biden leading the ticket, not a whole lot of enthusiasm amongst Democrats for that. So there could be a really low turnout. We know that turnout's going to be pretty high on the Republican side if Trump's on the ticket. So little factors like that could give Republicans a chance in that district.
Well, so what are you thinking for 2024? I mean, if you have to look forward, does redistricting still become the big story because of what it entails, or do you see something else on the horizon for 24?
Well, yeah, these elections are going to be interesting. I'm I'm following those elections, the congressional elections, also the presidential. I mean, I'm eager to see if, you know, once Iowa and New Hampshire happen, if it's any kind of contest, right? Because our election is on March 5th. So is it any kind of competition for Trump, or does he just run away with it? Because it would be interesting if they got to Alabama on Super Tuesday and it was at least competitive.
And give
voters a chance to have a say. But also looking toward the legislative session, you know, it starts on February 6th, and they're going to be dealing with some really interesting issues. We're looking at a gambling plan coming back. Nobody really knows exactly what's in it, but they're certainly busy talking, so that's going to be big. And also school choice. We know that the governor has made school choice a priority, but those could be two pretty big fights, especially gambling. I expect gambling to be a pretty big fight in the legislative session.
It always is. I mean, I've got my own, you know, battle scars from some of those, and also sat back in amazement at some of the ways that the gambling interests are their own worst enemies. They, you know, anybody who says we should have a casino needs to go talk to the casino owners, because the reason why we don't have more casinos is because of the casino owners constantly being at war with each other. But that being said, yeah, I would agree. I think that school choice is going to be huge at the state level. And then I think, and I agree with you, I think that the national election is going to have state implications, because the sovereignty of the states has been challenged under the Biden administration in a big, big way. And it's going to be interesting to see whether we can recoup some ground and begin to move that back in a different direction. Well, tell me what, I had Congressman Palmer on a minute ago. I asked him towards the tail end of our time, did he have any predictions with regards to impeachment or, you know, accountability procedures related to Mayorkas specifically, and then the Hunter Biden, Joe Biden fiasco. What are your thoughts on those things going forward?
Well, you know, I've been following it a little bit. I think I'm sure that there are solid reasons to pursue impeachment and things like that, especially for Mayorkas. I think when it comes to the impeachment of the president himself, you need to have really rock solid reasoning for that, because it just becomes to the average voter that, well, okay, every time one party's in power, they're different than the president, we're just going to impeach every time, no matter what.
Yeah.
And that's not healthy for our system. So if they do pursue it, they need to be really rock solid on their ground. And you know, it'll be an election year, so you know the ultimate accountability is at the ballot box. I'm really eager to see this campaign go forward, because there's just no question, and we've been talking about this for months, but the national media and the Democrats even are coming around to the fact that Joe Biden is just a very weak president. His numbers are terrible. And so looking forward, you know, if the nominee's Trump, what happens there? Does he run the kind of campaign that keeps it on the rails, that leads to victory at the ballot box? Is somebody else going to make a run? Who's his vice president going to be? Because, you know, when it comes to November, those Democrats who are, you know, not really supporting Biden right now, they're going to come home. They're going to support him at the end of the day. But it's a fascinating political situation. I mean, it is kind of ridiculous that we're probably going to have Trump and Biden again. You know, it's kind of, you'd have told me that 4 years ago, I'm not sure I'd believe you. But there's some fascinating dynamics working out on the presidential level.
There are. I think that's going to be a dominating thing, and not the least of which is going to be the Supreme Court's position in the actual ballot determinations for states like Maine and Colorado and, you know, whatever. And truthfully, the Supreme Court could wind up being one of the biggest players of the entire year for that very reason, because they're going to potentially change the landscape, not just on the ballot access, but on what January 6th really was. Was it an insurrection? Does that impact other court cases? I mean, I think it's going to be a big term for the Supreme Court.
You're right, and that's really unfortunate. And it's unfortunate what Colorado and now Maine have put the court in the position to do, and that is adjudicate elections. And that's not their role. It's kind of like the Bush v. Gore. You think back to Bush v. Gore, I mean, they really had no choice but to rule on that. But that really hurt the reputation of the court, you know, especially amongst Democrats for a long time. And so they've put the court in the situation they shouldn't be in, yeah, in adjudicating ballot access. I think it was really irresponsible because when they rule, if and when they rule, half the country is going to, you know, be up in arms. Yep. And that's just not healthy. So I think it's really irresponsible that Colorado did it, now Maine. I wish more states would think about that and think about the long-term impact that these decisions have.
Well, I think it goes to the level of maturity we see in some people in office. But yeah, I agree with you. But I will say this, to your point about Supreme Court being put in that awkward position, at the same time, boy, the founding fathers had it going on when they decided to pick up the three branch of government type system to give checks and balances to each other, and provide some level of oversight for different things. But all right, well,
that's
Todd,
right.
Stacy, I appreciate you, man. Hope you have a happy new year. War Eagle to you. And
well, same to you. Happy New Year and War Eagle.
Thanks, man. If folks want to find your stuff, where can they find you?
It's really easy. aldailynews.com. You're going to want to sign up for that morning email that's really informative. And Capital Journal is tonight, actually, at 7:30 on Alabama Public Television. I'm actually interviewing former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. So that's a really special guest tonight on Capital Journal. So, yeah, tune in.
Yeah, good catch. Okay. Hey, thanks, Todd. Appreciate you. Happy New Year.
All right, be good.
All right, that was Todd Stacy from Alabama Daily News and Capital Journal, and there's a good get. So he's got Condoleezza Rice on the show with him tonight at 7:30 on Alabama Public Television. By the way, APT, that Capital Journal show, I've been on it multiple times. It's a very cool show. It's worth catching because you get firsthand looks at some of the people who are influencing our state policy and state laws. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We're staying with it. Hindsight and foresight. Going to have a little conversation time with you when we get back. And then at 3:30, Dale Jackson calling in. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.